And may I also ask that you turn to the person next to you and wish him or her a blissful 2019, please. Please, may you do that now, please. Thank you. We thank God for another opportunity to be here. And before I start, may I say that today in my teaching, you may hear some words or certain words. It may be emotional to you, it may be challenging, but please take heart. After we are done, please come forward. We'll talk and we'll pray with you. Because I believe that the presence of God is in our midst and that He wants to work on us. Because as I prepared, during my preparation, I had a feeling that certain things must come in for us to understand this better. The verse we just read, mainly Isaiah 43, the verse 19, you see a picture on the in front of you, and I try to put in there as wilderness and things that you may see in the wilderness. And in the wilderness situation, it can be a neglect, unused place, unwelcome, and it can be a place that is wasted, and it may be sickness or disease. Maybe that is you. In the year past, 2018, you were like a wilderness. You might have gone through many challenges. Some lost loved ones, some health challenges, some financial situation, and others loss of hope and actually desire to live was gone, and they considered many things, either to throw in the towel and just give up. That was 2018 for some people. The next slide is a desert, and in the desert situation, can we have the next slide, please? You see other things that happen, loneliness. Some people might feel lonely. And at a point, you'll be praying, doing all sorts of things, coming to church. And in your life, you might have sensed as if God has actually forsaken you. And where is God? You might have fasted, cried to God, and there was no answer in that year. And it's like you are empty. You felt vacant or cut off from society, and people isolated you. You might have been in a situation where when you are coming to a place, people see you coming. By the time you got to them, they depart. They part their way. One go this way, one go this way, because they don't want to see you. They don't want you to be there. Either in your workplace, in your house, sometimes in the family. Things might have gone wrong in the past years, including 2018. So your life might have been either a desert place or a wilderness in the year past. But the good news is, God is telling you and I this morning that He's doing a new thing in our life. Did we not recognize it? Do we not perceive it? In fact, this leads me to have the theme or the title for my teaching today as laying hold onto the promises of the Lord. Laying hold on the promises of God. There are many or thousands of promises of God in the Bible. If you don't know them, you can't use them. And because many a times we come to a point where we don't know or we are ignorant of them, this is why we don't use them. But God did promise. And when that happens, we face situations like we are in a desert or we are in a wilderness. But God is telling us that we should leave those circumstances. He's doing a new thing. How many of you here have ever seen 2019 or experienced it as of 30th December 2018? My question again. As of 2018, 30th December, is there anyone here who has seen it, experienced, or heard, and actually in a society or in a community, the 2019? Have you ever experienced it? Then it's a new thing. Anything you have never seen, you have never witnessed, the first time you see it or hold on to it, that's the first time it turns to you as a new thing. That is a new beginning. God did promise, and the first promise has already been unveiled to us on 1st January 2019. And forget about all those that has passed. You might have been bereaved. I'm not saying they were not necessary. But we need to move on. The Lord God Almighty wants us to move on. Moving on with his promises. When someone made a promise, you may believe, you may doubt. You wonder if that person is going to honor the promise. So who is the one? Who is the promisor? And who is the promisee? Who made the promise? It's God who is making the promise. For instance, if I tell you that come to me tomorrow morning and I will issue a check of £10,000, and then the governor of Bank of England also made a similar promise, I know the two of us which you believe and which you not believe. Because you know it might not be true, and it is not true. In the past, 2018, we had friends, families, and people who has promised us, for sure we know they will never be able to honor. But this is not one of them. People supposed to motivate our life to do things, but this is not one of them. Because God's promises are backed by power, are backed by him. Because he is the architect of this world. If you tell your child that, well, there is a meal at the kitchen for you, or I have chocolate on the table for you, and it's a form of a promise, and the child never gets to take that chocolate or take the food, the child will go hungry or will go crying that you have not honored your promise. But this is not the case. The reason being that the child has not taken hold of what you are promising to. If you promise someone to come to your house for something and the person didn't turn up, it is never your fault. It is the fault of that person because he refused to turn up. The condition is that he should come in and get it. So this verse is a promise and a covenant. A covenant in the sense that both parties have a part to play. they have an obligation and responsibility. So it is God's part and man's part. God has played his part. He has done his part by promising us. And this is in the Bible. It is our responsibility and obligation to hold on to those promises so that they can be effective. Failure to that, then we go on struggling. And if we are to understand what God is saying, he is actually speaking to his children, not just anybody. Who are God's children? John 1:12 made it clear that as many as receive him, to them gave him power to become the children of God. I want to be clear that about 7.5 billion people on earth, not everybody is a child of God. Because many have not accepted Jesus Christ, the one who reconciled us to God. So with that, those people who have not accepted Christ, they do not have that audacity, that power, that strength to claim anything that belongs to God. You know, I cannot come to your house and take anything by force or just take anything. But your child can and can even enter your bedroom because it's your child. So therefore, people who these promises are for is for people who actually accepted Jesus Christ and made them their Lord and personal Savior. If you are here today, listening to the sound of my voice, and you have never in your life committed to Christ, giving your life to Christ, this is not for you at the moment. But when we close after the service, there are a lot of elders here. Come to us. We'll have a chat and we'll show you and teach you how to commit to the Lord. Then this promise can work for you. In the year past also, some of us were just at the gate of death. Psalm 107, the verse 20 made a clear instant of that. When you read the New Living Translation, it makes it clear. David said, even though I walk through the shadow of death, I feared no evil, for thou art with me. It might have been a year where death was knocking at your door. It might have been a year where doctors have diagnosed you with anything scary. And you many times felt that that's the end. But this is not what God has promised you. He is saying this 2019, that is not for you. That death threat is not for you. That sickness, that disease, that infirmity is not going to kill you because he, God, he is doing a new thing in your life. So he has turned things upside down. He is the only one who called what is not there to be there. If the architect of this building comes to tell you and I that he's going to make a door through that wall, we don't need to doubt him. We must believe him because he knows what plan he'll put there. Scientists are exploring other planets and we believe them. People do other things and put patent rights on it and they claim it as their own. But my question is, all those inventions, are they using their own raw materials to do those things? No, it means they depend on someone's raw material so as to invent. Therefore, claiming the whole total ownership is wrong. This is why we don't need to believe them 100%. Politicians promise us, and we vote for them many occasions. But do they deliver? No. God is not one of such. In Genesis 1, we read key verses to see that he is the one who created this world out of nothing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they did create this world out of nothing. So if somebody wants to claim something, he must do something which it is out of his own, but there's none. Scientists do things, but till today, they haven't been able to create a man and made a man like you and I. They do other things though. And neither have they made anybody to walk on the sea. When the Israelites were leaving Egypt and the enemies was chasing them, they came to a point where they thought that was going to be their end. They're racing in front of them, the enemy chasing after them. But only God, who is capable to part the sea into two and create a dry ground so that the Israelites walk on, did such a miracle. No other human being till today will be able to do that or has ever done it. This is why when he promised you or he promised us, we should believe. We sit on these chairs without checking whether we will fall. We join buses without checking the driver's bus license whether he can drive. Wake up in the morning, many occasions we don't check our tires, we drive off. We have some kind of faith in those things. Will it not be better having a better faith in the King of Kings, the Lord Almighty, the creator of the universe? He is saying he is making the impossibility possible. What is not going to be possible in our mind, in our understanding, in our imagination? He is the only one who can make it possible. This is what God is saying. So it is good we hold on to this. Why do I say we should hold on to the promises of God? Numbers 23, the verse 19 makes it clear that God is not a man that will lie. Had he said, will he not do it? We still have friends we hang out with. They tell us stories they made promise which they never honor. Many times as parents, we do promise our children, but how many of them have we honored? God is not a man that will lie. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says that his promises are yes and amen. So if God promised us, there's no two ways about it. The promises will be there, but it is for you and I to take hold of them before they work. Joshua 21:45, he said that since the days, because of my time, I won't read them, since the day that Israelites were promised till date, none of God's promises have failed. God has been in business long before our forefathers were born. And the Bible is saying that none of his promises to them and to us has failed. Will it not be better trusting him, believing in him, taking hold of those promises and move on with life? Because they will always do us good. The reason we struggle and suffer more and our life tends to be wilderness and desert, once again, is that we are not holding onto the promises of God. Sometimes we get discouraged. We get confused, frustrated. I want to say one of the weapons that Satan uses is to make sure that we do not believe what God is saying. Sometimes you believe that, oh, God can heal this sickness, and you pray. But when it comes to headache, oh, as for this one, God cannot. You may not say it, but our attitude, the way we hold on to it, the way we present the situation, makes it that we don't actually believe that, as for this one, the Lord is capable. Holding on to the promises of God. So, the implication of this promise is saying that Whatever has happened to you and I in the past years, God has put them behind. And there are many promises of his, which he is saying that he will now make a road in the wilderness. Because it was an isolated place, a deserted place, where nobody wants to go. But if there is a road now, people will use it. People will get access to it. It will become useful. If in the past people don't see you to be anything, people don't think that you are valuable. This is why they don't include you in things. They don't ask of your view. And others feel that you don't have any wisdom. God is telling you this morning that he wants to make a way in your life. Because he is the one who gives wisdom. He says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives freely, who gives liberally, he will not rebuke us. He's the only one. Knowledge is of him. Bible says of Jesus that in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom in Christ. He is the one who heals. The issue is that he did not only promise, he killed his son, used the blood of his son to seal the agreement. In time past, God promised Abraham that he will be father of nations. You and I know the story very well. But in Genesis chapter 6, the verse 3 going, Sarah and Abraham decided that it has taken too long. So they want to help God so that the promise will be fulfilled. That was a mistake. Until today, we see the consequences. But in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 17, verse 4, God came back to Abraham and telling him, as for me, my promise is with thee. It's with you. In spite of what Abraham has done, God is saying that I still continue with my promise. I won't withdraw it. This morning, as you listen to me, God is telling you and I that all the mess that we created in the past, probably till even this morning, he's saying that he's putting them behind him. But his promises is still within our reach. Because in Acts 17, 30, 31, he said, days of ignorance, Christ weak on them, God weak on them. But he commands men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the whole world. So now, God has put our sin behind him. And he's not going to look back. Turn over to look at them. So that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. I am not endorsing that we sin and then go back to God. Romans says, shall we say the grace abound so that we continue living in sin? No. What we ought to do is that we should see it, recognize. He said, do you not perceive it? He's doing anything. Do you not perceive it? Do you not recognize it? Recognize that this 2019, not many people have seen it. Let alone not many people are able to walk from one point to the other. But grace, sufficiency of grace, has been bestowed upon you and I. He is doing a new thing. See it. Embrace it. Welcome it. Hold on to it. Believe it. Trust him. And you see that in time when you were like desert and wilderness, demotion was at your door. Now you'll be promoted. Disfavor was at your door. Now you'll be favored. People who even do not think to do good to you, because of God's favor, God will force them that they will do what they have not even imagined or thought of. That's what God is able to do. You see, when Israelites were leaving Egypt, ordinarily, the Egyptians would have parted away with their items for them. But because of God's favor, they were compelled to give away things to them. That's what the favor of God does. When God is making a new thing, that's what happens. When God is making a new thing, people who did not count you among anything will begin to see you differently. Remember when Jesus, at the wedding of Cana, many people were passing by, and at Cana, the water jar was there, and water was there, but nobody thought of it because it didn't be useful for anything. But when his hour came, the mother first asked him, "Oh, the wine," or told him, "the wine is finished." And Jesus said, "Woman, my time has not yet come." Then the mother went to tell the people that whatever he tells you, do it. This morning, I am encouraging each and every one of us, including myself, that whatever the scripture tells us, let's do it. Because God is about to do a new thing. And when the people obey Jesus' words, the water became unintoxicated wine that the people drank. And they even the MC went to rebuke the man. That why? Why did you keep this nice drink all this while? In the past, people don't see it to be anything. But God is saying this year, if you hold on to his words, if you take his promises, this year will be a year of difference. Will be a year that people will be seeking to see you. Peter, when he was a fisherman, I wonder how many people want to talk to him. Because when fishermen come from sea, the scent around the fish and things, many people wouldn't like to embrace him. But when he began taking hold of the promises of the Lord, aprons and handkerchiefs left his body and healed the sick. And people wanted to get hold of him. This is what the Lord does when we hold on to. Jesus was walking on the sea, and it was impossible for everybody to walk. Peter was in the boat with his colleagues. And Peter said, "Ah, is that the Lord?" Because they were first afraid, thought they were, it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "It is I." And Peter said, "If it's you, then bid me come with you." And Jesus told him, "Come." The promise is that he should come. So Peter took hold of the word "come." It's a promise. And began to walk on the sea. The impossible became possible. Doctors might have said all kinds of things about you. About your health, sickness, disease, infirmity. Who cares? But I want to tell you that they have diagnosed. They can medicate. But Jesus is the healer. He took our sickness, disease, infirmity, including curses, onto the cross. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Therefore, brothers and sisters, this year, it's not only today, this 2019, our life will not be the same. This church will not be the same. God has promised, the ball is now in our court. If we will hold on to it, it shall be well with us. Quickly, how do we hold on to it? Reading our Bible, taking a verse that corresponds to our situation, memorizing it, personalizing it, applying it to our life, and constantly taking it to the person who promised, the promisor. We are the promisee. Let's receive it. If she promised me, excuse me, something that, "Oh, Freeman, come, I'll give you this." And I am aware that she has promised to give me such an item. I will come to her and say, "Oh, Sister Barbara, The other day you promised that I should come for this. Is that not what we do? So we need to go before God and tell him and remind him. It's not that he has forgotten, but we need to go before him. Let's claim it. Mind you, Satan will keep constantly telling us that it is not going to be possible. He will play tricks with our mind so that we can doubt. But I'm telling you that it is possible with God. If it will not be possible, he would have promised. He is not a man that will lie. Had he said, will he not do it? This year, 2019, the Lord has taken his steps. He has played his part. Will you play your part? Shall we play our part? Our part is that simple. Let's take it. Let's hold on to it. And it shall be well with not only us, but with our soul. When the rivers come into the desert, people will come and fetch. When you hold on to the promise of God and the blessings of God that make rich but add no sorrow to it comes to you, other people suffer in the church. Widows and widowers, orphans who are outside, who help them. People who are homeless, who help them. Many people need meat. Some are sick. But when we are so anointed, holding on to the word of God, and the gifts of God are working and we hold on to them, we will just walk to the hospital and then people will begin to get healing. Shall we ask ourselves, how long ago have we become Christian? Have we ever prayed for someone and the situation has changed? If not, we are wasting away. Let us not waste away. Let us hold on to the promise of the Lord and move on with it so that God's name will be glorified. That is the purpose for which he has created us. That is his vision for making a new thing. God bless you in Jesus' name. Shall we bow our heads even as I offer a short prayer? Father, we thank you for this time. We bless you. Even though time is fast spent, Lord, give us grace to understand you, to reprocess these words. Help us that we will not forget them. Give us grace and strength. And may your spirit enable us that we will have the desire, hunger, and thirst after your word. To heal the promises. To read the promises. To read the promises of yours. And take hold of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the year. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Please, those who are serving, please may you join me.